Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend, producer, engineer, Ray Allen. Ray on the other side of the glass. And together, Mr. Buckmaster and Mr. Allen welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Today is Bastille Day. It's July 14th, a big holiday in the French-speaking parts of the world. To all of our French speakers, happy Bastille Day. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. When's it going to rain? Some of my Facebook friends say they were down in Tubac last night, and about 7 o'clock they said they really got hammered, which is good news. So maybe we'll get lucky here in the next couple of days and break this spell of 13 straight July days without a drop of rain. I believe that is a record. The Buckmaster Show live line's open for you, 790-2040. That's for your questions, comments, and suggestions. We also invite you to become a friend of our program. We're easy to find on Facebook under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and we do Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Let's go right to the Buckmaster Show live line. Former state lawmaker Victoria Steele, who is running for United States Congress as a Democrat in District 2. She and another former state lawmaker, Dr. Matt Hines, will be facing off in the fast-approaching upcoming Arizona primary. In fact, early ballots will be going out in a couple of weeks, so things are getting very close now. Ms. Steele, how are you? How are you doing, Victoria?
Hi, Bill. I am just fine. Thank you for having me back.
Well, tell me how the campaign is going at this point for you.
I believe the campaign is going really well. We've got a lot of wonderful momentum. Mine is a strong, old-fashioned grassroots campaign. And we're just doing that. Get out there, meet everybody that you can. Listen to what people have to say. It's not that big money from Washington, D.C. type of campaign. It's a homegrown effort, and we're growing, and I think we've got our finger on the pulse of what really matters to people here in Arizona.
Is this fundraising a big issue as far as you're concerned? You have not raised a lot of money. Compared to Dr. Hines, he's raised quite a bit. Are you at a big disadvantage because of that?
Well, when you think of fundraising, what I'd like you to do is look at the fact that I have a small amount, Matt Hines has a little bigger amount, and then our Republican opponent has a much, much bigger amount. But when you look at where is that money coming from, the money that is coming into the Republican incumbent's campaign bank account is coming from lobbyists and Washington insiders. So that's where the big dollars are coming from. And those are people that have their own agenda. And there are people that can't vote here. They don't live here. They don't know the people of southeastern Arizona. But the people that are investing in my campaign are people that live here. They are people that know me. So do I have to win the race of millions of dollars? No. I have to win the hearts and the minds and the votes of the people that live here. And that's what I'm doing.
And Martha McSally, the incumbent, has said she may take up to Election Day to decide whether or not she will vote for Mr. Trump. Do you have a problem with that?
I do indeed. You know what? This is a man who makes fun of people with disabilities. This is a man who makes fun of women. He makes fun of Latinos. He makes fun of just about every group that you can possibly think of, even war heroes. And she wants a closer look at him. I think she needs to start standing up for the people of this district and not worry about what Donald Trump is going to think. If she needs a closer look to discern what kind of an individual he is, then she clearly does not want to see and does not want to stand up for the people that he is putting down. And that's not okay. This man is a danger. He would be a Trump presidency would be catastrophic.
We're speaking with Victoria Steele. Victoria Steele will be, her name will be on the ballot, as will Dr. Matt Hines. So it will be a choice for voters, Democratic voters in the primary and independents who can vote in the primary. So what will the choice be, Victoria Steele, between how do you differentiate yourself from Matt Hines?
Well, first of all, what I would like to do is say that when it comes to fundraising, you cannot base your decision on a candidate by how much money they have or how much money they've raised, because that's not the only criteria. I was born into poverty. Literally, I am a coal miner's daughter. I grew up, I was a single working mom. I put myself through school, working two and sometimes three jobs. I know what it is to struggle to make ends meet. I reflect, my campaign reflects the people of this district, the people who are struggling to make it meet, to make a difference, to make their way in the world. And that's who I represent. People deserve someone who understands their struggles, somebody who knows where they're coming from. And that's why I think people will vote for me, because I'm going to support things like good-paying jobs. I'm going to support things like making sure that we always have a strong and expanded Social Security and Medicare, and that we always have clean air and clean water, particularly in the desert, and that we have a good, strong, healthy economy. And there are things that it comes from living in a world where you don't have as much. And I really appreciate the things that I have. And I did not grow up with privilege. And sometimes I think that gives me a distinct advantage, because I know what it's like to struggle, and I know what it's like to succeed, and I'm dedicating my life to helping others succeed.
And you also are part Native American, is that correct?
Yes, I am Seneca and Mingo, and German, mm-hmm. and my people are from the northwest part of Pennsylvania, my ancestors.
So how about this paid family and medical leave? Big supporter there, Victoria Steele?
Yes, absolutely. I think we need to give working families a break. We give wealthy corporations and extremely rich, the top 0.1%, we give them all of the tax breaks. And a lot of them don't even pay taxes. So we can do those things that move our economy along, and we can stimulate our economy by giving a hand up to the people that need it. But if you help people with paid family leave, we are one of the only developed countries in the world that does not give paid time off to moms and dads of newborns, or of people that have to stay home to take care of a dying parent or a sick relative. And, you know, you should not have to choose between a relative who is sick and getting a paycheck. Shouldn't have to choose between your pregnancy and a paycheck. Those are just things that aren't right. And we have an economy that's basically not fair. And one of my main things that I want to do as your congresswoman is to help level that field, help level the playing field so that everybody really gets a fighting chance at life.
Just had a caller who wanted you to talk a little bit about your support of veterans and veterans issues, please.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a strong supporter of veterans, particularly with regard to making sure that, because it for me, it's a moral contract. When we send our young women and our young men out to fight for us, to protect us and our freedoms, the least we can do is make sure that when they come home, that we help them make that transition to civilian life. We make sure that they have housing, that they have great jobs, that they have the best medical care, and that their mental health needs are taken care of. We have suicide rates among veterans, an average of 22 veterans take their own lives every day, Bill. And that means one an hour. So you look at what time is it today? It's noon. So how many people have ended their lives today who sacrificed everything to us? We owe it to them to make sure that we've got their backs when they come home. We owe it to them.
Victoria Steele, thank you very much. Certainly. That whole suicide rate of veterans, just totally unacceptable.
It's true.
For sure. Where can people find out more about your campaign? What is your website, please?
Well, we just put a new website up just yesterday.
Okay.
So funny you should ask, Bill. It's victoriasteelesforcongress.com.
Thank you very much. Hope it's a great afternoon for you, and hope we get some rain, right?
You as well, yes.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. Victoria Steele, congressional candidate in CD number 2. She is a Democrat. I want to tell people real quickly, our friends over at the Jewish Family and Children's Services of Southern Arizona want to remind everybody about the Bookman's Entertainment Exchange Summer Reads program this Saturday over at Bookman's, the Speedway, East Speedway location. And they have just published a book, The Jewish Family and Children's Services of Southern Arizona. The book is To Tell Our Stories, Holocaust Survivors of Southern Arizona. Might be a nice event to bring the family to this summer reading series. Check it out at Bookman's Entertainment Exchange.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino,
and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Well, 20 on a very, very hot afternoon in Tucson, Arizona, AM 1030 KVOI, our flagship station for the Buckmaster Show, and we are live streaming for worldwide listening at KVOI.com and on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. A couple more weeks, the U of A students will be returning to campus. Coming up a week from Saturday, that's the 23rd, Saturday afternoon, 1 to 3 at the Joel D. Valdez Main Library, the second floor in downtown Tucson. The library, Pima County Public Library, teaming up with UA Office of Admissions, the Metropolitan Education Commission's Regional College Access Center. They're having a UA Day, and joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Amber Mathewson. She is the deputy director of the Pima County Public Library System. Amber, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for inviting me today.
Tell me a little bit about this special day that's coming up.
Sure. We're so excited about this first ever U of A Day at the library. This is a real opportunity for high school age students to come down to the library and find out all about those next steps that they might need to getting into college, specifically the U of A, but any college that they're really interested in. And we know that there are a lot of students that sometimes feel like higher education might be out of their reach. And so we're hoping that this event will foster some information for them to decide what their next plans are. So as you said, the Pima County Public Library is in collaboration with the U of A Office of Admissions and also Metropolitan Education Commission's Regional College Access Center. And the Metropolitan Education Commission has been focused for a while on targeting especially first-generation college students, so the first in their families to attend college, and the library has been working with them for a few years on that process. But this U of A Day should be very exciting in that there are workshops with the path to the U of A, College Greenlight, which is an internet site that students can use to determine the college they want to go to, but also identify financial resources. There will also be a Financial Aid 101 workshop, a current student panel that will answer questions for students about what college life is like. They can get help in filling out an application if they're a senior in high school, so they're getting ready for applying for schools, and there's Arizona Earn to Learn workshop, which is a program where students, if they're currently employed while they're going to high school, can have money put into an account specifically for their college education.
You know, Amber, I posted on my Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster, when we were previewing today's show, I said one of the questions that I would like to ask you: are libraries still relevant in the digital age? And quite a few of my Facebook friends posted back that they had great experience with the library, especially in time of unemployment. They were able to go over there and access different online job hunting and checking out DVDs. So I think people do need a library in this digital age, don't they?
Absolutely, especially because the Pew Institute is still showing that a quarter of the U.S. households do not have a connection with the internet, or at least a reliable connection that they can use to do job searches and these kinds of searches that we'll be doing for university-level information. And also, that while students are used to using it at school, if they don't have it at home, they really still need to have that access. So definitely digital access and digital inclusion is one of our big focuses for libraries now and for the foreseeable future.
And one of our friends posted that they actually saw kids checking out books. How about that?
Exactly. We have so many digital resources. Yeah, I know. And they still like to check out books. Actually,
yeah.
There's resurgence among teens and younger kids of liking to have the physical material in their hands. So we'll keep having books for some time in the future as well.
So libraries really have had to change, haven't they? And this is something I know that you've even had health-related professionals who have been a part of the library. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'd love to. Yeah, libraries have always been sort of ones that fill in the gaps wherever we see needs for people. And we had a need when we were having a lot of behavioral health issues that were coming into the library. And we have always given resources, but we didn't always have someone who could really walk with someone in terms of getting them directly to the service, getting transportation for them. So in 2012, we started our library nurse program, and our library nurses are that great interface with the community. They're actually employees of the health department, but they work out of the library and are able to do the kinds of things that librarians had wanted to do besides just giving a referral. So can really help people get through the process of finding housing, you know, getting into healthcare if they need it. And also, just for the general public, our nurses like to do informational sessions as well as blood pressure checks, and we've even had some immunization clinics at the libraries, and it's really expanded for the health department a way to reach the public that they were not able to in the past and answering that need in the community as well.
The health professionals, do they rotate then, Amber, among the different libraries?
Sure. We have one full-time nurse who spends most of her time here at the main library, and she's what we call the lead nurse. But then the health department has between 15 and 20 public health nurses at any one given time, and they're each assigned the library that's in their district. So they might go to that library once a week or once a month, whatever they can work out in their schedule and what the library feels that they need. And they vary from branch to branch. Some of our branches, they help with our after-school snack programs. Again, educational programs for both children and adults and teens. And again, those blood pressure checks. So it just kind of is varying on the community, but we really love having that touchstone.
How many libraries do we have in Pima County right now, Amber?
We have 27 libraries, including the main library downtown.
So,
and they reach from all the way to Aravaca, Ajo.
Have you been cut back financially?
We actually have had a good year this year, and we were able to get a secondary increase in the property tax last year, and that actually is, since property values are going up, is making a difference for us. So we'll be maintaining a good budget this year.
We're speaking with Amber Mathewson. She's the Deputy Director of the Pima County Public Library, and we're also mentioning at the beginning of the program, or the beginning of the segment, about Saturday, week from Saturday, Saturday afternoon, 1 to 4. If you're a young person who is thinking about going to college, perhaps you've thought about it, but maybe you're figuring, well, I just can't afford it. There will be opportunities, correct, Amber, there to talk to someone about financial aid.
Absolutely. Financial aid is been mentioned actually in several of the workshops that students will be able to work on. And if they have any difficulty in transportation downtown, there's transportation opportunities offered from Toya High School and Pueblo High School in TUSD, as well as Sunnyside and Desert View High Schools in Sunnyside District. So we're hoping that people will just come on down and check that out.
And their parking should not be an issue.
Parking should not be an issue at all. There are about 15,000 spaces downtown. Surface parking and is free on weekends, so it's a great time to come down to the main library.
And again, your location, for those that have not been to the main library, where are you located?
Sure, we're at 101 North Stone, which is between Alameda and Pennington, just off of Congress on Stone.
Thank you very much, Amber Mathewson. I hope you have a great afternoon. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye.
Bye. Amber Mathewson is the Deputy Director of the Pima County Public Library. If you're looking for a great weekend getaway, how about Silver City? Only 3 hours east of Tucson, it is a beautiful area of the southwestern United States. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, it has been a brutal July here with very, very hot temperatures. It's a little cooler over there. The nights are very pleasant. After all, the elevation makes for a makes a difference when you get up to about 7,000 feet, like historic Pinos Altos, just north of downtown Silver City. It is going to be cooler. Check out southwestnewmexico.org. That is the website for Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, and it has the full listing of the many places to stay in the area, like Homestead RV Park and Pinos Altos Cabins. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. Our Friday roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch on Buckmaster during the noon hour on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with live streaming at BuckmasterShow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. We're very proud that we have about 24 regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show. The full listing of these fine people and their many accomplishments is at buckmastershow.com. And one of those fine people who has many accomplishments to his name is Dr. David Levy. He's the Buckmaster contributor on science. He's the former science editor of Parade magazine. He's now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. David Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He's discovered 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9, the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994, producing the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. David is an Emmy Award-winning writer. He's the author or editor of 35 books and other products, and we're honored to have him with us. How are you, David?
I'm very well, Bill. Ready for our interview today. It's been very exciting to talk in the middle of the summer of 2016.
And you were traveling to an area that I believe would have been a lot cooler, up in Quebec. Were you up in Canada?
Yeah, I was in Montreal for our 50th anniversary class high school reunion.
50th anniversary of your high school class reunion. I know, everyone looked a lot older, right?
No. When I walked into the place at the first event and started looking around, the years fell away, and it was as if everybody was just like they looked in 1966.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
You had a good time at Westmont High.
I did. That was one of the happiest years of my little life.
Was astronomy important at that point?
Yes, it was. And there were three ways in which it was important, Bill. The first was that I had a little telescope named Alouette that I brought in my briefcase. And at recess time, I took it outside and looked at the sun. And it's something that I still do 50 years later with a bigger telescope, though. The second thing was that it was while I was at Westmount High that I decided to begin my search for comets, which, as you and I believe your listeners know, has been fairly successful.
Very successful.
And the third thing was the fact that I got a 53% in my English literature matriculation. And Mrs. Lancey, the teacher, said, whatever you do, do not do a career in English literature. I listened to her advice. I got an undergraduate degree in English at Acadia, a master's at Queen's in English literature, and recently a doctorate at the Hebrew University, also in English literature.
And English literature has been very important to you because that doctorate at Hebrew University was really combined kind of your love of English literature with your love of the sky.
I believe, Bill, that if my father found out ever that I had not fallen in love with William Shakespeare, he would have disowned me.
Today's Bastille Day, and of course, French-speaking Quebec, very important. Was Westmont High at that point a bilingual school?
Yes, it was. Not as much as it is now, mm-hmm. but it was. Of course, you couldn't graduate without at least a speaking knowledge of French, which I obviously had at the time and still do, but it kind of comes back after a couple of days when I'm in Montreal.
You call your observatory in Vail, Arizona, Jarnac Observatory. Was there a Jarnac in Canada?
Yes, there was. The original Jarnac, which my friend and I visited last week, is about 100 miles west of Montreal on the way to Ottawa. And it's just a beautiful little place. It's where I did some of my earliest dark sky observing, Bill.
What was the point that you knew that this was going to be a career for you, David Levy?
I think when I was about 8 years old and I was at a summer camp in Vermont and I saw a shooting star. Wasn't a very bright shooting star, but it left a real impression on me. And I kind of said to myself, well, I don't know if this is going to be my job, but I'm interested in this.
And we should all be interested in what's coming up. We've got a couple of sky shows, for want of a better word, coming up.
We most certainly do. We have a meteor shower mm-hmm. on the 29th of July, the Delta Aquarids. There'll be moon interfering, but then the Perseids on the 12th of August, and the moon will be interfering in the early part, but not at the end of the night. And I'll be out there observing, so I hope your listeners will be too.
We are in the middle of summer, and the summer constellations are there for us to observe in the night sky. Any constellation that, of course, you've got the North Star, but what are the prominent ones, David Levy?
The prominent ones, Bill Buckmaster, are Lyra, Cygnus, and Aquila. The brightest stars form the Summer Triangle, which is named after our granddaughter Summer. Hmm. And then there is Aquarius, the square of Pegasus, Ophiuchus, all kinds of lovely constellations to see.
Time for the David Levy quote of the month.
Here's what I've been waiting for. This month is from three people, from William Shakespeare, Mary Stuart Adams, and a little bit of a change from David right here. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts, his acts being seven ages. In the words of Shakespeare, all the world's a stage, and if all the men and women are merely players, then the implication is that the audience is the world of planets and stars, looking ever on with interest towards Earth and the activity taking place here, as though it were but a mighty drama played out for the entertainment of some higher power. In the poetic device of the bard, this shift in the audience suggests that rather than man on Earth seeking comets out there, it is the comets out there that seek out man. And in Bill Buckmaster's case, they have found a star.
Oh, thank you very much. Dr. David Levy, and, you know, Shakespeare was interested in the night sky, wasn't he?
If he were here right now, if he were somehow to come back after 400 years, and sit down, he would not want to talk about his plays. He'd want to know how to use a CCD camera and want to learn how to do astronomy the way we do it. If he took the trouble to come back, the least we can do is show him how we do astronomy nowadays. That's what I believe he would want to do. He was an amateur astronomer in the truest sense of the word. He looked at the sky. He mentioned it in almost every one of his plays, including the opening of Henry VI, where he talks about comets. Hung be the heavens with black is the opening line of that play, Henry VI, Part 1. A comet's pretending changes in times and states brandish your crystal trestles in the sky. That's how the play begins, with the sky, and that's how his career begins, and all the way through the canon, there are references to astronomy throughout. William Shakespeare loved the night sky.
And we love David Levy. Thank you very much,
Dr.
Levy, and we'll talk to you in August. Have a great day. Thank you.
Okay, you too.
Dr. David Levy, one of our regular contributors here on the Buckmaster Show. To say that he is a bright light is a big understatement. That man is a real bright light. The Buckmaster Show wants to thank, we want to thank all of our sponsors, and here's a special shout out to Green Things. They do such a nice job, and these two popular weekend workshops now that they're doing, and they're free, 10 a.m. Saturday and Sunday, different aspects of gardening, and they list on the website what the topics will be at greenthingsaz.com. Today they had another very successful Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, the Artisans Market and Farmers Market. That's a new addition to the Green Things portfolio over at 3384 East River Road. They're on 13 acres. Say hello to Jan and Jack. These are two very fine people who run a great operation. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hi, Alan Schultz from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you're sure to find a business you can trust. Whether you need a quote from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We've got worldwide listening at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. So if you're anywhere near a computer, anywhere in the world, it's kind of fun. You can listen to the show wherever you are. Well, for the first time in 36 years, Clarence Dupnik's name will not be appearing on the ballot for Pima County Sheriff, but his hand-picked successor, Democrat Chris Nanos, will be seeking to win the seat he was appointed to by the Pima County Board of Supervisors when Sheriff Dupnik stepped down last year. Sheriff Nanos will face the winner of the Republican primary, which is coming up very quickly. Early ballots will be going out in a couple of weeks. The GOP primary will be Mark Napier against Terry Staton. Terry Staton is with us right now. He is a Pima County Sheriff's deputy, has been for 25 years. He started campaigning against the sheriff, and so he was placed on leave without pay. Is that correct, deputy?
That's correct.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about why you made this decision to run for sheriff.
Well, a lot of it had to do with how the department members lately have had to endure unkept promises, not only by the sheriff and the board of supervisors, but it was one of those things where I was approached by department members and members of the community and asked if I would run. They've recognized me as a leader throughout my career with the sheriff's department and felt that I would be a very good candidate and somebody that could do the job well.
Tell me a little bit about your career in law enforcement. When did it start? I mentioned 25 years with the Sheriff's Department. Were you with another department before that? Or
no, I grew up in Ever Valley, and I knew sheriff's deputies back then, and I knew at an early age that I wanted to work for the Sheriff's Department, and I've been a part of that department since 1990.
Was there someone as a child that influenced you to get into law enforcement?
Not influence, but it was a corrective measure during my youth. I was not a great teenager, and I had a conversation, had some issues.
Yeah.
I had a conversation like with the deputy, and at that point, I knew that's exactly what I wanted to do.
Let's talk about the department. Did you feel you were, by the way, placed unfairly on leave? I know the sheriff he cited that it is he had that right to do.
Well, he was told that he was told to do it by Huckleberry. Which my question is who's running the department at that point? Then, if he couldn't make the decision himself, why did he have to be told by Huckleberry to put me on leave? I don't know what the reason was. I still have not been told, other than the disruption of the organization. There was also the Patchgate incident that I was accused of doing something and publicly convicted of doing something that I had nothing to do with. So, you know, as far as putting me on leave, that's something that I expected. I knew it was the possibility. My wife and I talked about it, and when it came to fruition, it wasn't a shocker to us.
What kind of career have you had at the Sheriff's Department in that quarter century?
I've done patrol work, directed patrol. I've served in the Community Problems Unit, the Community Resource Unit, the arson, auto theft, night detectives, special enforcement team, and I was instrumental in creating the mental health investigative support team before I was taken and put on leave.
How do you, what kind of issues do you think that when people have a choice between yourself and here initially between Mark Napier, who will be, by the way, on the show on Monday, what are some of the things Mr. Staton, that you would like, Deputy Staton, that you would like people to consider?
Well, they have to consider who's been doing the job the latest. I'm currently commissioned with the state as a law enforcement. He hasn't been in law enforcement for over 10 years. He tried, and don't get me wrong, I respect Mr. Napier and his wanting to step forward and serve the deputies and corrections officers of the county when there was no other person stepping forward. He said he was going to do it because there was no one else. Well, now there's somebody else. Mr. Napier tried to run for sheriff 4 years ago and didn't make it. He's also tried to become the police chief for Pima College, didn't make it. And he is also tried for the town council up in Oro Valley, didn't make it. He's currently in charge of parking or something like that with the U of A. My qualifications have been a leader my entire career. I've got 20 years on SWAT. I've led the team through many a tough situations. I'm currently still a leader within my department, and I think that leadership is something you earn, not something you learn in a book, not something that you're appointed to, not something that you're elected to. You earn it, and that's what I've done, and I know that I can lead this department in the future.
Where does the department, if Terry Staton was the sheriff of Pima County, where would you like to take the department that you feel it needs to go, the direction it needs to go?
We need to restore confidence back to the office of the sheriff. Right now, there's no confidence in what Sheriff Nanos is doing. He's lost focus on what's important to the not only the members of this department, but the members of this community. You know, we have to have safe streets and secure homes. Compassionate enforcement of the law. We can't pick and choose as law enforcement which laws to enforce and which laws we can't enforce or won't enforce. And we have to have, you know, protection of everybody's civil rights. These are the things that we need to focus on that has not been focused on. We need to focus on the low morale that's occurring within the department. because of the favoritism, nepotism, and cronyism that's going on within the department. There's people that have retired in a six-figure salary and got invited back to take another six-figure salary by Sheriff Nanos in a command positions, which that choked off a lot of opportunity for individuals to promote up. If you look at the two positions he created or gave to his friends, the chief deputy position and the chief of staff position, that could have related to 10 promotions throughout the ranks. Bureau chief, captain, lieutenant, sergeant, and even down to corrections officer to deputy. Those were taken away from us. Because we can't get pay increases, we have to try and promote. When you take away that many positions to promote, you're taking away pay.
When was the last time deputies got a pay increase?
We were promised the step increases, and they haven't come in the last 8 years. In fact, the Board of Supervisors has just voted on a partial step increase, which is going to go away after, from what I understand, it's no longer going to be part of the process anymore anyway. But, you know, Sheriff Nanos had promised to support full decompression. And when Huckleberry offered another plan, Sheriff Nanos thought it was a good plan, but he didn't support the deputies. He didn't support the corrections officers.
What has your relationship been with the sheriff? Before he was sheriff, were you two working together ever as colleagues, or what was that relationship like?
I never worked before with Mr. Nanos prior to him making lieutenant. He and I started working. Well, I worked for him when he was my captain in the Criminal Investigations Division. When he was promoted to bureau chief, I was still under his bureau. And obviously when he's now sheriff, I'm still under him. But he and I have not worked directly together. I worked for him for a while, and our relationship was okay. There was some disagreements we had, and there was no disrespect in my disagreement with him. I needed to make sure that my view was always put forward. And I think that's important when we are a department. We have to be able to communicate openly and not worry about reprisal, because I may not agree with your opinion or your ideas. So in my administration, I don't want an echo chamber. I don't want somebody just saying yes because they think they're gonna lose their job if they disagree with me, which is, you know, some of the retaliation that goes on now is if you voice your opinion otherwise, you have the opportunity of getting moved to another place or getting out of the special position that you're in.
So as far as the pay issue, are we losing deputies to other jurisdictions?
Oh, most definitely. There was a sergeant out of Ajo that left and went to another jurisdiction. I know of a 22-year sergeant that's actually thinking about moving to another jurisdiction. These are senior people that we're losing that we shouldn't be losing. That can be detrimental to the department, because if we don't have the experience guiding the young people, we can become a real big liability on the members of this community.
So you're contending there is a law enforcement brain drain, so to speak, at the Pima County Sheriff's Department.
Yes, when we have senior people leaving, that costs the county money, that costs the taxpayers money, and we lose valuable experience. We really do.
So how are you positioning your campaign? Are you doing a lot of kind of meet and greet with people, or how's this whole process for you? How has it been? Because this is new, I take it.
Oh, very new. I'm not a politician.
Yeah,
I'm
right?
not a politician.
So I'm just curious, how's that gone for you?
I'm 6 feet in the pool right now of the political world.
You're into it now, right?
Neck deep into it. It's definitely an experience, and I am, you know, I'm getting out there as much as I can to, you know, meet and greet the public. Talk as much as I can to the people of this community and get my views out there to them.
All right, Terry Staton, thank you very much. Where can people find out more about your campaign?
That's Staton, S-T-A-T-E-N, the number 4, sheriff.com.
And you're a native Tucsonan? Or?
I came to Marana in 1976, grew up in Marana and Ever Valley, and went to Marana High School. So
that
I've been here since 76.
Yeah, over over 4 years or 5 years qualifies you as a native, right? Okay, Terry Staton, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, coming up this afternoon, our local talk show, our cavalcade of local talk continues. Ray Allen and Mike Shaw, 4 to 5 this afternoon. They do the 4 Tucson show, and then we do Wake Up Tucson, another one of our local talk shows. That's 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe, the Daily Double. Chris DeSimone and a different guest host every day, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you. And I'll be back with you Friday afternoon, 12:04. Until then, I hope you find a way to not get too overheated this afternoon. Try to stay cool. Maybe we'll get some rain. Back with you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.